10. Beautiful song. This is Amazing Grace. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just welcome you here this morning, Father. We thank you that we are all gathered here today, that we can gather here to worship you, to love you, and to love one another, Father, as the body of Christ, Lord. We thank you, Father, for going before us. We thank you that you're almighty, that you're in control of everything, that you are large and in charge, Father, and we praise you for that. And we ask that you bless this time, that you bless this sermon, that you bless this day. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Father's house, amen? And that's where we're at right now, in the Father's house, amen? Author Ann Graham Lotz told a story in her book entitled Heaven, My Father's House. And it was the story of an old missionary named Samuel Morrison, who spent 25 years doing ministry in Africa. So he spent 25 years doing ministry in Africa, and he was coming back home to America on the same ocean liner that Teddy Roosevelt was returning to America from. He was doing like a safari safari in Africa type thing. So he was coming back. They're both coming back on the same ship, amen? And so when they get there, you know, the president's coming off the ship and everybody's bombarding him. And they're all, the president, and they're praising him, right? And they got barriers, police escorts, everything to keep people from the president. So they're mobbing him, they're crushing him. And then Morrison, the missionary, he gets off the ship and nobody even notices him, right? Nobody sees him. Nobody says anything to him. He couldn't even hail a cab for a ride. The cab driver didn't even see him. Amen? So, in his heart, Morrison was complaining to God. He said, the president was in Africa hunting for 3 weeks, killing animals for sport, and the whole world turns out to welcome him home. I've given 25 years of my life in Africa serving you, and no one has greeted me or even knows that I'm here. So in his questioning heart, he heard the gentle, loving voice of God whisper to his spirit. And he said, my child, you are not home yet. Amen. Amen. Love it. So Jesus left his home in heaven to come to earth to be born of a virgin because God so loved the world. Amen. But this was not his home. Jesus left home in Nazareth in his mother's womb to go to Bethlehem to be born because his stepfather belonged to the house of David. But that was not his home. Jesus and his parents would return home to Nazareth, but that would not feel like his home either. But in today's text, Jesus would finally feel at home in the temple, or as he would call it, my Father's house. Amen? My Father's house. I love it. So our first verse says that every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. You know, everybody knows the Passover, right? It's an annual celebration or feast where everyone makes their way up to Jerusalem for a week-long celebration. Amen? And that's what they were doing. And the celebration, of course, is to remember how God delivered his people out of Egypt, amen, and brought them to the promised land. So we've been studying that, talking just about that in our Wednesday study on the book of Joshua, amen. So you're all invited to come join us on our Wednesday study, right, Pastor? Amen. You can hear more about that. And so they would make this trip annually. Everybody would make this trip annually, but this would be the first time that Jesus made the trip since he was a baby. Amen. This would be the first time that he would be there because he was coming of age. Okay. So, verse 42 says that when he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the custom. So, Mary and Joseph, they were very faithful to God and very faithful to their religious beliefs. And I'm sure they attended, you know, all the feasts, the Passover feast, the Feast of Leavened Bread, Pentecost. They were attending all the feasts because they were very faithful. Amen? And but at this time, Jesus was 12 years old, okay? So he's considered a young man in the Jewish tradition, okay? That's today we call it a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah, when the kids turn 13, they have a bar mitzvah, and they're considered men, right? They're considered men in the faith. So Jesus was a young man, or a teenager in this narrative. He's a teenager, but this is the only account that we have of Jesus as a child, other than a baby, but this is the only account in the Bible. Amen? So, there are no other stories in the Bible of Jesus as a child. But there is a thing called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, which is a apocryphal gospel, which means apocryphal gospel is a gospel that's about Jesus' life. Amen? So there's one about the Infancy Gospel of Thomas, that's what it's called, and it's said to be dated from the 2nd century, and it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, right? It's not in the canon. It is, that's why they call it an apocryphal gospel. So it's said to be dated from the 2nd century, and it's a Gnostic text, okay? And there's some crazy stories, that's my point. There's some crazy stories in here about Jesus as a kid. And the first one was Jesus was making these clay birds, and he brings them to life. He brings these toys, these clay birds, he brings them to life, and the birds go flying, okay? That's one of the famous ones. Another one was Jesus was dispersing water, and a boy came and disrupted what he was doing. So Jesus cursed the little boy, and the boy withered into a corpse and died. And then it says that he felt bad about it, and he brought the little boy back to life. So that's another story. Amen. And the third one that I have is a little kid accidentally bumped into Jesus one time. Or some of the translations say they threw a stone at him or punched him, but then it says that Jesus kills the child for bumping into him or for hitting him. Amen? So, yeah, all right. So it's kind of obvious why they didn't include these in the Bible. Amen? But the point is, these are crazy stories, but I believe the true reason there are so few stories about the childhood of Jesus in the Gospels is because their interest was on the Gospel. Amen? The interest was on the Gospel, and these things of his childhood, they weren't really important when it comes to the Gospel. And that's why they weren't included. And as I said last week, if they were meant to be in the Gospel, the council would have included them. Amen? The council would have included them in the God-ordained Holy Bible. So in today's text, this is the only true story of Jesus growing up as a child, or in the Bible, that is mentioned. And it's very important. It's a very important story. Amen? Keep that in mind. It's very important. And the next time that they mention Jesus will be at the beginning of his ministry when he's 30 years old. So in today's text, he's 12 years old, and him and his family are making their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. I know it's a lot of information, but it's pretty cool, all right? Amen? Verse 43 says that after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. He stayed behind, but they were unaware of it. His parents were unaware of it. And so they were going back home. They didn't realize that they had left Jesus behind. They didn't realize it. They had been celebrating at the temple for a week, worshiping and praising God, and when they left, they forgot Jesus. It's like, really? You're worshiping God all this time and you forget Jesus, right? So does that sound familiar to any of us? Amen? Can any of us, you know, any of us can backslide? Any of us can lose our faith? Any of us, you know, we can be on fire for Jesus, spending a week at a mountaintop experience retreat or a festival, and when we leave, we can easily get off track, and we can easily leave Jesus behind. And we don't do it on purpose, but when life starts to happen, you know, we can easily get sidetracked and forget about the Savior. And, you know, someone can cut us off in traffic, right? I talked about that before. Someone can cut us off in traffic or say some unkind words to us. And we can easily forget the reason for our joy. Very easily. Especially in today's crazy world. Amen? We can get sidetracked by our anger. That's another big one. We can get sidetracked by our anger and forget all about the reason that we're here. Amen? Or when someone close to us gets sick. It's another thing. Someone close to us gets sick. A lot of times we start to lose our faith. You know, hopefully not. Hopefully we grow in our faith. But a lot of times people will lose their faith or get angry and they'll forget about Jesus. They'll get mad thinking, why did God allow this to happen? So they were returning home and they mistakenly forgot about Jesus. But how could they? How could they forget about the Savior? How could any of us forget about the Savior? So thinking he was in their company, and it kind of reminded me of Home Alone, the movie Home Alone, right? So they're leaving the house, right? And they got all these kids. I mean, they traveled in these groups. They got all these kids, and they forgot Jesus. Amen? So they were traveling on for a whole day, and then they started looking for him among their friends and relatives. So they went a whole day before they realized Jesus wasn't there. So they would travel in large groups. This is part of the group. So they would travel in these large groups, and the men would travel in one group like this, and then the women and the children would travel in another group. So they would be in different groups as they traveled. And the reason they traveled in these groups is because there was a lot of thieves and a lot of people that would hurt. You know, if you didn't travel in groups, in packs, you had more of a chance of getting robbed or getting mugged or whatever. So they would travel in these groups. And so they were in the same caravan, but they were separated from each other. Jesus' mother and father. Amen? So seeing that Jesus had recently entered his manhood, maybe, you know, they each thought the other parent had Jesus covered. So Mary, thinking, well, he just became a man, so he's probably with the men, right, in their group. And then Joseph's over there saying, well, he's still a kid. He's probably with his mom, right? So they're thinking that each one's got Jesus taken care of, and the fact is they left him behind. Amen? So no child left behind, okay? So I think that's a big part of our problem today with our children, amen? With the younger generation, they just don't know Jesus, you know? And the crime rate continues to get worse, amen? And the world continues to get worse. We hear more shootings and all this crazy stuff going on. You know, Maranatha, Lord help us, amen? And we need to, amen, Pastor. We need to raise our kids in the faith. We must bring our children up in the church. Verse 44 says, thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. They began looking for him among their relatives and friends. So if the number of people in their family plus friends was anything like my mom's side of the family, then they had a lot of people to look through. Amen? there was a lot of people to find Jesus, and it would have taken them a while to realize, you know, he's not here. So they looked for him frantically, and they found him not. That's the King James Version. They looked for him frantically, and they found him not. Verse 45 says that when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. So the timeline is, it was a whole day before they realized he was gone. And then it takes them a whole another day to get back to Jerusalem to look for him. And so then they start looking for him all over town. Amen? So it's another three days without Jesus. Amen? So they could have used an Amber Alert too, right? They probably would have been a good thing for them to have an Amber Alert at this time. But but they had lost Jesus. Jesus had not left them, though. They had lost Jesus. And Jesus doesn't leave us either. Jesus is always there for us. It's a decision that we make in our lives. It's a decision that we make in our lives. You know, are we going to remember to keep Jesus in our lives, or are we going to forget about him as well? We see so many people come and go in the church, even in our church. And it hurts when we see people leave for any reason. But when the reason is because they've lost their relationship with Jesus Christ, it hurts that much more. Because we're okay with people going to another church. As long as you're keeping your relationship with Christ, that's what it's all about. It's all about saving souls. Amen? That's what we're here for. We're here to plant seeds of faith. And whether those seeds blossom here or somewhere else, that's fine. As long as we're doing God's work in this house. That's what it's about. Amen. So we love everyone like family, but when we lose you, it hurts. So when Mary and Joseph realized that they had lost Jesus, they turned back to Jerusalem to look for him. And this is what we pray when someone leaves the church or relapses or falls into any kind of sin, especially a sin that separates them from the church. We pray that they turn from their sins and that they seek the Lord once again. Or it may be that we just stop coming to church every week because we're too busy, right? We may be too busy. Or we decided that, you know, the Bible study, that's just not our thing, you know? These could be lies of the devil. Amen? Do you really have the time? Have you really tried the Bible study? Have you really tried becoming a part of that group and getting into it? And, you know, do we really have the time? Because we were created for these things. We were created to be in community, to participate in these things physically, spiritually. Then and only then will we find the true peace and joy of fellowship that we were created for. We were created to be in community. So don't believe the lies. We belong right here in the Father's house as often as possible. Zechariah 1:3 says, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts." When we return to the Lord, he always returns to us. Always. So they turned back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. Verse 46 says that after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. So I was thinking, if you lost a 12-year-old kid in another town, do you think the first place you would go looking for him would be in the temple or in the church? Probably not, right? Probably not. But after a whole day of searching, someone must have said, you know what? Did you guys check the temple? I mean, this is Jesus. This is the Savior. Maybe he's in the temple, right? So there he was, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Barclay wrote, he said, "For the Passover season, it was a custom for the Sanhedrin to meet in public in the temple court to discuss in the presence of all who would listen religious and theological questions." So I'm sure Jesus knew that they were going to be there. Amen? And he saw this as an opportunity not only to speak to them, but to learn. He was still learning. Amen? We'll talk more about that later. Jesus was human as well, and he was still learning. So Mary's angry. Mary's angry and relieved at the same time, and I'm pretty sure she was pretty upset. And lucky for Jesus, you know, this is his mother, right? That people were around, or he might have got the chancla or something, you know? Because his mother was mad, you know? I mean, where you been? You know, you worried us. And but did Jesus really know who he was at the time? Did Jesus really know who he was? As he debated with the rabbis at age 12, did he know what he was saying? Did he know what he was talking about? Did he know at this young age that he was going to die on a cross for our forgiveness? We don't really know, but we do know that he had a connection. He had a special connection to the Father. And he knew that. That's why he's saying that he's in his Father's house. Amen? He had a special connection to the Father. So what we do know is that at 12 years old, he's wowing the crowd. Amen? They're like, who is this kid, right? And but he's got that connection to the Father, and it's very apparent. Verse 47 says, "Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and at his answers." They were amazed at his wisdom. when we realize the impressive intellectual insight and analysis of the Jewish rabbis, this is very impressive. These guys were very smart, and they were very well-versed in their theology. But this is something, so you could sort of compare it to a middle school child discussing physics with a rocket scientist. Jesus did have a unique advantage, having a special relationship with the writer of God's word. Amen. And verse 48 says that when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Why have you treated us like this? Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." So here Mary is scolding Jesus like any mother would do for scaring her, right? He's scolding Jesus, and she basically tells him, "How could you do this? We were worried sick about you." So by her response, we can see that she's thinking differently than Jesus. She's thinking differently. She knows that her son is the anointed one. She knows that Jesus is the Savior. But Mary is thinking differently because Mary is a mother. She's his mother. And Jesus' response shows just how differently he's thinking. Amen? He says, Jesus knows that he has a special relationship with the Father, and he knows that Joseph is his earthly father, or his stepfather, or his foster father. Amen? But he needs to be about his real father's business. He needs to be in his real father's house. So he seems to be surprised by his response in verse 49. He says, "Why were you searching for me?" He tells his mom, "Why were you searching for me?" He said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" He says, "Of course I'm here in the temple. This is where I'm supposed to be." I guess you could say that he was gently correcting his mother's statement. And that her and his father were searching for him. Jesus was saying, "I am here in my real father's house." Jesus didn't have to learn that he was the Messiah. Jesus knew that he was the Messiah. Even at this young age, he knew. He knew from this point on that he and the Heavenly Father had a very special relationship. In John 10:30, he would say, "I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one." Jesus would later teach us all to refer to God as the Father through our prayers. Remember in Luke 11, when one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught them the Lord's Prayer, the one we recite every Sunday for communion. Amen? He taught them the Lord's Prayer. And how does that start out? Our Father. Amen? This is when we started referring to God as our Father. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Amen? Notice he taught us to pray, "Our Father." We are all, as believers, the family of Christ. And God is our Father. God is our Father. There's an old English proverb that tells how important fathers are. It says, "A father is more than 100 schoolmasters. Fathers are often more appreciated at different ages by their children." Mark Twain had the candor to admit a change in his perception of his father. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." Right? Oh my God. So, as a child, we don't often realize just how wise and caring our parents can be. You know, sometimes we just see the discipline, we just see the correction. But as we get older, we realize how wise they really are. As we get older, we realize we should have listened to them. And when they pass away, we realize just how important their counsel really was. I know I miss my father's counsel and the conversations and the advice. But Jesus isn't a regular child. Jesus is the Savior. And even at this young age, he knows that his father is who his father is and what his counsel means, not only to him, but what his counsel means to all of us. He knows how important it is to be in the Father's house. And it's just as important for all of us to be in the Father's house with the body of Christ, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We also belong in the Father's house, even the babies. Amen? And we'll talk more about fathers next week, of course, as we celebrate Father's Day. Amen? And yes, next week is Father's Day already. And we should all be celebrating it in the Father's house. It's Father's Day. We'll be in the Father's house. Amen. Verse 51 says that when he went down to Nazareth, when he went with them, he was obedient to them. Jesus was being obedient to his parents as they went back to Nazareth. Now, I think this implies then that something had changed. Not that Jesus wasn't obedient before, but now he is doing it from a different perspective. Amen? He's now being obedient, knowing who he truly is. And he's still being obedient. But he also knows that his time had not yet come. Right? Remember what he tells his mother at the wedding in Cana, right? My time has not yet come. And respectfully, you know, the respectful thing for him to do, even as Christ, is to be obedient to his parents. He's still under their roof. He's still under their leadership. He's being obedient to his parents. What would Jesus do? Amen? What would Jesus do? His parents had been obedient. Oh, and I'm supposed to say, you got that, kids? Yeah. Be obedient to your parents. Amen? So his parents had been obedient in everything concerning Jesus up to this point. But now it was Jesus' turn to be obedient in his mission for Christ. In this mission for Christ. So the Son of God went home, and he was submissive to his mother and his stepfather. And all this was to show not only the humanity of Jesus, but the growth and the maturing as well of Jesus. He's growing. He's human also, amen? And he's growing, he's maturing. Even Jesus had to grow in his faith. Even Jesus had to grow up. Then the rest of the verse says that his mother treasured all these things in her heart. My wife changed the picture. She didn't like mine, but that's... Anyways. Now, this wasn't the first time that she was treasuring something in her heart. Amen? The first time was when the shepherds came, remember, to worship the baby Jesus. She treasured that in her heart. And I'm sure this would not be the last time that she would treasure something in her heart. But I believe Mary's just teaching a lesson to all mothers through the ages that they need to listen to and observe their children so that they may ponder in their hearts what they have heard and seek counsel from God to take the right to be on the right path regarding their children. Amen? We should have that relationship, a strong relationship with our children so that we may seek God's counsel in our parenting. Amen? And lastly, verse 52 says that, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus was growing. Jesus was human. Jesus was growing. This shows how fully human and divine he was. He was growing in wisdom and stature just like we do. He was growing up. And we know he was growing in favor with God by Matthew 3:17, where a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Amen. So we know that he was pleasing his father, and that he was growing in favor with God. Now, growing in favor with man, the last part, that would remain to be seen. But we do know that during Jesus' ministry, he had two lines of people. Amen. Pastor Rick talks about two lines of people. Well, Jesus had two lines of people too. Amen. And that's okay, because that was part of God's plan. That was part of God's plan. His plan for our salvation. Amen? Jesus had to have two lines of people. And we know that He does today as well. But let's just be in the right line. Amen? Amen? So His plan is that we should all be about the Father's business. Now, speaking about salvation. Amen? I heard a pastor saying this the other day in one of his sermons, but he asked everyone, he said, "Are you saved? Are you truly, do you truly believe that you are saved?" You know, are you saved? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you truly given your life to Christ? Or would you like to reaffirm your faith in Christ? Amen? So ask yourself, are you saved? You know, ask yourself, have I given my whole life to Christ? Or just reaffirm your faith. Amen? So, if not, or if so, let's all recite this wonderful sinner's prayer once again so that we can all live in His eternal kingdom. Amen? Amen. All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Heavenly Father, I come. Amen, amen. God bless you. Let us pray.